God is good. And all the time. Amen. Well, it's been a very fun week, and I know you guys and I am looking to a very, very fun weekend, or this week coming up. Time to gather around with family and friends and celebrate Christmas, and also celebrate some time to just take a break and relax and be together as a family. A few years ago, my dad let me preach at his church, and well, he lets me preach at his church a lot, but a few years ago I got to preach the Christmas sermon, and I preached a sermon on the shepherds and their example of how they heard the message that the angels brought to them, and they believed the message, and they went out and investigated. They said, let's go see this child that the angels told us about. And they discovered what the message was true. And so they went and discovered, they believed, and then they went out and shared the birth of the child. And I kind of laid that out as an example that we in our own lives should also follow. And so as looking at the next character in this series, if you will, today we're going to look at the example of Mary. Now, some churches, they hold Mary up to be a little bit higher than what the Bible communicates. Mary was a very blessed woman, being able to bear the Holy Child. And we're going to look at her example of how she was an example for us in our Christian lives. I want to start with reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And earlier in this chapter, we see where Elizabeth has been pregnant with John the Baptist, and she is well on her way to that birth. And so we're going to pick up in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So our first example here, the first thing we want to look at, is Mary's visit with the angel. Mary was visited by the angel, and the angel, Gabriel, had a message for Mary. Twofold. One was, you are favored by God. Wow. What a message to receive that from an angel. Mary is, we don't know exactly how old she was when she got this message, but she's probably in her teenage years, or maybe short, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. But she was a young woman. And she was excited. She was getting married. And she had been engaged or hooked up with this guy named Joseph. Then all of a sudden, this angel appears. He says, "You are favored by God." Well, that'd be kind of scary thing. Just have somebody appear, an angel, and say, "You are favored by God." And I know I'd be thinking, well, what in the world did I do to be favored by God? What did I do? I'm just a young person here. And the angel continued the message, "You will bear a son who will be the king." Who will be the king. You know, at that time in Israel's life, they were under Roman persecution. They had some limited freedom there, but Rome controlled their political landscape. And the Jews were looking for a savior. They were looking for the promised Messiah. And so the angel came and said, "You will bear a king." And she recognized who this king would be. But the example is in the response, I think. You know, she said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Now, what an example that is. So oftentimes when God communicates to us that there is a need and that we have the means to fulfill that need, we're immediately looking around saying, "Is there anybody else that can do it? Is there anybody else that God could lay this burden on?" But that was not Mary's response. She said, "Let it be according to your word. I am your servant." It reminds me of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, he said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then I, being Isaiah, said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say this to the people.'" And he gave them a message for the people. And God in his word has encouraged us over and over again. Go and tell this to the people. And we are often not responding by saying, "Lord, I am your servant." But, "Lord, bring somebody around here that can tell these people what they need to hear." And the challenge this year, the challenge this morning, is that we need to take that response, Mary's response of, "I am your servant, Lord." And we need to personalize that. And we need to be willing to do the things that God has asked us to do. Go out there and share with other people the wonderful blessing of our Savior. In Sunday school, we went around the table and talked about wonderful things, wonderful examples this year of how God has demonstrated His love toward us. And we need to be willing to share that with other people, to open up our hearts, and to do His will. The next way that Mary responded to the angel was that she demonstrated her belief through action. She didn't just accept the message and say, "Wow, that's great." But she heard the message and she said, "I'm going to find this out. I'm going to go and see Elizabeth." The angel had said that this woman who was old and barren was now with child. And so Scripture says, in verse 39, that she went with haste into the hill country. She went with haste. She didn't say, "Well, you know, I know what God wants me to do, and someday I'm going to get around to it. You know, there's this thing out here that God, I bet He would be really pleased if I did this thing right here, but I'm really busy right now. And maybe next year I'll get around to it." In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judea. Let me ask you this morning, do your actions match up with what you say that you believe? Do your actions demonstrate your belief, or do they demonstrate hypocrisy? God has given us a message of hope. And so many times, we with our words echo that message of hope. But with our actions, we do not testify to that message. But Mary, in those days, she arose and went with haste into the hill country, into a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Let me read that again. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Elizabeth has communicated a great praise to Mary. She's seen that she has recognized that Mary not only heard the message, but she believed the message and acted upon it. And Mary, after receiving this wonderful great praise, she did not say, "I know, I'm kind of the deal, ain't I?" No. She turns around and takes that praise, and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." You know, so many times when we don't necessarily accomplish a whole lot, but we think we do. We think we're the stuff. We think we're the deal. I fall prey to that sometimes. "Lord, you know, thank you for how wonderful you have made me." Right? But Mary, that was not her thoughts at all. Receiving this praise, "Blessed are you among all women," Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." How many times when we see God bless us in our life, do we just take it for granted? And we just say, "Wow, that was something great I did." Or, "Wow, wasn't that really cool how that worked out?" So often we just think of, "Oh, that must have been a coincidence." We do not give God the glory that He deserves for the things that He provides for us every day. He continually blesses us, and Mary gives Him thanks. She continues, "And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm, and He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty of their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with the good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And then it says, "Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home." So she was there for the last part of her pregnancy, and they got to spend a time together, sharing of how God was using them, God was working in their lives. So we see that Mary visits Elizabeth. We see that Mary is blessed for her gift, the coming child, getting to be the mother of the Holy Child. And God and Mary, in return, praises God. I remember one time growing up, I went to a camp down in Arkansas, and it was a wonderful time of learning from God's Word, being challenged by God's Word, and praising Him, singing worship to Him. And I remember towards the end of the service, there was a time of prayer, and we were all sitting around praying, and people got up and left, and my best friend, Jordan Gotzel, was sitting there next to me and we were praying. And I got done praying and I leaned over to Jordan and I said, Jordan, I am so thankful that you have been my friend all these years. I am so thankful that you have been a good testimony for me and a good example for me. And I started to go on and he stopped me. He said, Michael, don't praise me. Praise God. So oftentimes we get our focus off of who it needs to be on. There's nothing wrong with encouraging other people and praising other people. But we got to remember who is the reason. It's Christ. And we always want to be focusing our praise and our thanksgiving on Him. He is the reason for the season. Let us continue. In the birth of Jesus Christ, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Cornelius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And then let's jump down to verse 16. And they, the shepherds, went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. So we see the birth of the Savior. Oh, what an exciting time for us. But for Mary, I'm sure it was very exciting for her as well, the birth of her first child. But she bore the Savior. In a literal sense, she did deliver him. But in another sense, she had the burden of the Savior. She traveled 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And we don't know exactly how pregnant she was when she traveled. She could have traveled at 7 or 8 months pregnant and they stayed there for a while. Or she could have been very, very much pregnant when they traveled. The Bible doesn't give us all the details. But living with somebody who is coming to the fulfillment of their pregnancy, I can tell you, it's not exactly the easiest thing to go through. I've seen this done, this will be the sixth time now. And, you know, we don't know how painful of a delivery it was. It could have been a very mild delivery. But we do know that in Genesis 1, you know, that the curse on the woman was pain in childbirth, at least one of them. And so we do know that Mary had different struggles along the way, just natural things. And I guess what I wanted to point out here is a lot of times we all want to be used by God. A lot of times we all say, God, use me. God, please, I want to be your servant. And we say that with our words. But then when God puts us in that situation and He gives us that burden to bear, we quickly change our tune and say, God, deliver me from this burden. God, get me out of this situation. But Mary did not. Mary looked around. She saw everything that happened and she treasured it in her heart. That is a wonderful example for us. When we're going through tough times and God has given us a road to go down, a road to bear, He has given us the opportunity to share in His ministry with other people. We need to look around and we need to treasure these things with our hearts. Treasure the opportunities that we have, even though it might cause personal discomfort for us. You know, Mary, we don't know for sure, But, you know, she was just engaged. She was just betrothed to Joseph. And she was expecting. And she probably began to show before they left for Bethlehem. And so there was probably a lot of people around town saying things about her that she knew wasn't true. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, Parkson's not that big of a town. People talk, right? Everybody knows everybody's business. And Mary would be in the same situation. And there might have been some people, like Elizabeth, who believed the message. But there was probably a lot of people who said, yeah, she's just making that up. But Mary, she continued to be faithful to the message. She believed, and she continued in that mission, in that gift that God had given her. She endured the stares, the gossip, the trip to Bethlehem, the delivering of a baby in a stable. You know, we, in our modern day, you know, we got hospitals and nurses that wait on our every need, you know, when you're in delivery. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a comfortable time, but compared to a barn, I mean, what we have today is not too bad. And so, you know, Mary could have complained. She could have said, woe is me. Look at these conditions. Look at what my God has put me through. But she didn't. She heard the message of the shepherds. And she heard the message of the angel. And she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the question I have for you this morning is, are you willing to suffer for Christ? Are you willing to endure for the message that you have received? 1 Peter 3:13 says, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And we see that example of Mary. She was willing to suffer for doing good. And we need to do that same thing. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, the examples that you have put in your word. Lord, we are so thankful that you sent your Son, that he can be born, Lord, not in a way that was befitting a king, but Lord, he came to earth and became our king. And Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that he made. But we also thank you, Lord, for the examples that you have put all throughout your word, and even in the Christmas story, of how we here in 2013 can use our faith and demonstrate it to other people around us. Lord, that we could hear the message that you have for us, to believe it, to act upon it, Lord, and then share it with others. To treasure in our hearts, that it might sustain us even through the hard times. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.